listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Well, welcome to Sabbath 2025 at DCC. Our theme this year is the to-don't list. Not the to-do list, it is the to-don't list. And if you're new to DCC or if you have started attending during this past year, this is probably a new concept for you. Maybe you've never been to a church that quite teaches quite like this or at least practices like this. So I want to kind of give you on this first Sunday of Sabbath, I want to give you an explanation so you can completely understand what's going on around here. And in order for me to do that, I've got to take you back to the first summer at DCC, June of 2007. We had launched in September of 2006, and the first summer came around, and we had a core group, and there's only a handful of them here right now, but we had this core group that was working hard. We launched a church, and it was do or die, and we were doing everything we possibly could to reach the community, which included our very first vacation Bible school. We were about 100 people strong, total, the entire church. I mean, everybody, every child, every baby, we were about 100 people strong. And we went into that summer, and we had our first vacation Bible school. I think, if my memory serves me correctly, I think we had about 35 kids there. And we finished that vacation Bible school. It was successful. It was a great event. But we were exhausted. We were so tired. And I was just praying, God, I know we need a break. And I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me, call the church to a month of Sabbath. Just rest in July. It's the seventh month. Just rest. You deserve it. And that's tough. It's tough for a pastor to do. I was in my early 30s at the time. I know some of you are looking at me like, I thought you were in your early 30s now. And thank you. Thank you for thinking that. But no, I'm 50 now. And I was in my early 30s. I had a lot of energy, but I was tired. I was just tired. And it's hard for someone like me with that entrepreneur spirit, with that apostolic mindset that will stop. It's just hard to stop. Once you have momentum going, it's hard to stop. And I had to because it just wasn't healthy. So I called our church to a month of Sabbath. We gave all of our midweek teachers the month off, and we just relaxed, and it was so life-giving for us. And during that month, I taught our church about the practice of Shabbat, Sabbath, and how Sabbath is a gift to humanity from our Heavenly Father. And so this is our 19th straight summer. For 19 straight summers, we have participated in an annual summer Sabbath. And I believe, church, that this is one of the reasons for our success, ultimately God's success in and through us, is our practice of Sabbath once a year. I do believe that it is healthy for us as a church. We're an active and growing church. We have been since the beginning. We have been active and growing. For that, I will not apologize. But understand, busyness does not always equate to godliness. Hear me. Busyness does not always equate to godliness. Therefore, I want to officially welcome all of you to a month of Sabbath. And I'm going to explain to you what that looks like for us. For me personally, this is a mandated month of rest by our administrative council that I am very thankful for. I'm only going to be preaching today for this month. This first Sunday is the only day that I'm preaching here or anywhere else. And some of our staff pastors will be filling the pulpit the rest of the month. And I'm excited for them. I'm excited for you to get to hear them. I will still come to the office most days. I will be at the office. There are a few days scattered throughout that I'm going to be spending some time with Mandy and with our grandson. But I don't have any appointments or meetings scheduled for this month. And I know that's hard for some of you to understand. For those that have been around here long enough, they get it. Because what this does is it allows me this month to work on personal projects that need my attention. It gives me some time to work on some upcoming sermon series because I am a pre-planner and I like to have my sermon schedule out. And so it helps me get my mind wrapped around where we're going as a church. It gives me time to pray about where God wants us to head as a church. But the other thing that it allows is it allows me some time to decompress. And I'm just going to be honest. Pastoring a church this size is tough at times because with lots of appointments, people coming to gain spiritual advice or just to be somewhat, cared for by a pastor, it gets heavy sometimes. And it's a lot of weight. And I'm a healthier person because the council allows me this month not to have any of those appointments. And I'm healthier because I have a church that understands that and gives me a month off where I can just let my brain just decompress. I'm convinced without Sabbath, without a month of Sabbath like this, I'd have probably been out of ministry a long time ago. But because of this and because a council that sees this and a church that understands this, it gives me strength for the journey. And as far as our staff, our whole staff, I not just encourage them, I make them go home promptly at 5 p.m. every day, every day. I don't know if we have any Office fans in the room, if you're a fan of the Office TV show, but you'll remember when Andy was a manager, he wanted to establish a new tradition, and he walked through the office playing, "It's closing time," and well, I am known to walk through the office. I was even out of town this week, and I texted the staff and sent them that song, "It's Closing Time," because it's time to go home at 5 o'clock. And during the year, there's so many activities and so many things happening after hours for a church and for our staff that they deserve a month where they can just go home at 5 p.m. and disconnect and be with their families. Here's what I ask. Please appreciate and respect this time of refreshing and renewal for our staff. Understand it. If you will, it makes it easier on all of us. And I also ask this of you. This is your homework for the month. That you will only work the necessary hours to keep your job. That's what I want you to do. Just work the necessary hours to keep your job. I'm not asking you not to go to work, okay? You need to go to work. Don't get fired, okay? You need to go to work. But only work the necessary hours to keep your job, which means don't volunteer for any overtime. I know in some situations you're not asked. You're not volunteering. You're voluntold that you have to work. And that's out of your control. But if it's within your control, and you know it, this is between you and God, okay? If it's within your control, I'm asking you not to work those hours, those extra hours. Get home at a decent time. And enjoy this month and enjoy time with your family and friends, those that mean the most to you. Intentionally, be intentional about relationships. That's really what Sabbath is about. It's about worship. It's about growing in God's word. And it's about investing in the relationships that matter the most. And I can hear the voice of the skeptic right now. But Pastor, how am I going to pay my bills? Like, I need that overtime. If I'm going to make ends meet, I need overtime. And here's what I say to you, okay? Our God is not the God of natural abilities. He is supernatural. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe our God is supernatural? Amen? He is beyond natural, okay? And therefore, when God commands us to do something, it becomes a matter of trust. That's faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so when God commands us to do something, if we don't do it, we're not trusting God. And so you have to ask yourself, do I trust God at his word? Do I trust that God can do more in my downtime than I can with my hand to the plow trying to earn a living? And Sabbath is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. And that's what so many people miss out on. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. As a matter of fact, it's the fourth of the Ten Commandments, the Big Ten. It's the fourth one. And I don't believe that any one of the Ten Commandments is more important than the next one. I believe they all are there for a reason. But of all the Ten Commandments, God spent more time on the fourth commandment than he did on all the others. He used 98 words in the English Standard Version of the Bible. He used 94 words in the King James Version of the Bible. Over four verses he used to instruct his children about the importance of observing the Sabbath. This by far exceeds how he described the other commandments. Why would he do that? Why? It's because he knew that this would be the easy one for us to forget. It's the easiest of the commandments for us to break. And when you start prioritizing them, think about it. None of us in the room are going to put our stamp of approval on murder. But that's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Most of us in the room would say, yeah, that's wrong. Why do we devalue the Sabbath, but we put so much more value on the other commandments? It's part of the top 10 for a reason, guys. There's a reason why God included that. And so I want to read to you from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And I want you to hold on to these words. Really, just let them sink into your hearts, okay? Exodus 20, 8 through 11. God says, remember the Sabbath day. Somebody say, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord God, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now here's our focus verse for today, verse 8. Verse 8, I want you to look at it again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's some words here I want to point out to you. First of all, it's that word remember. Remember. It means that this can be forgotten. So he starts this one with remember, don't forget. Then he says the Sabbath day, Shabbat. It means a day of rest. It literally means to stop, just to stop. He says, so remember the Sabbath day, and then it's this phrase, and to keep it holy. Holy means set apart. It's unlike other days. It's not supposed to be treated like any other days. It is sanctified. It is holy. It is set apart unto the Lord. So remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God is commanding us to set aside a 24-hour period each week to rest and to trust him. And there's this fine line here that can almost make it legalistic. And I don't want it to become that. But yet for some of us, we almost need to treat it that way because we neglect it so much. And so I'm not trying to create this legalistic mindset with us, but I am wanting us to understand the importance of Shabbat and what it means to us as believers in Christ. I think our choice to honor the Sabbath is a reflection of our faith in God. If we don't actively participate in Sabbath, that means that we are trusting our own abilities. In a sense, we are setting up ourselves as a deity over our own lives, like we're God over our lives. If we do actively participate in Sabbath, we are acknowledging our faith in our God, which means he controls the outcome of the Sabbath, which means he ultimately controls the outcome of our lives. Now, let me ask you this. Who is more qualified to manage your life, you or God? Well, that's a sobering question, right? Because you know you. I know me. And I know I'm not qualified to manage my own life. In some senses, we've set up ourselves to be the God of our lives. And if you have done that, good luck with that. It's going to fail. But I'm choosing the Lord of the Sabbath to govern my life. That's why I participate in a weekly Sabbath, honoring God's word, honoring his command, because I want him to be the God of my life. I will never apologize for preaching the same subject every year. And one of the reasons why is because we need it, because we hear it and we do good for a little while, and then we get caught up in the busyness of life and we just throw that right out the window and we stop honoring Sabbath again. So I'm not going to apologize for preaching this every year, because again, I know me and I need this annual reminder, and I'm not alone. We need this reminder. Amen. But the enemy to Sabbath is a to-do list. The enemy to Sabbath is a to-do list, whether it is an actual like pen to paper list or it's just a mental list. The consuming tasks are never ending in our lives. Have you noticed that? There's always something else that has to be done. Oh, you've got a list right now, whether it's on paper or just a mental list. You've got a list right now. And as soon as one project is done, there's another one that needs to begin. You're never going to complete all the lists. Sabbath gives us permission to make a to-don't list. A to-don't list. And the first item on our to-don't list should be don't work. Write it down. Don't work. It's what the commandment said. For 6 days, you can labor. But on the seventh day, don't work. The Sabbath mindset does not ignore the work. It actually acknowledges the work, and it recognizes the work that needs to get accomplished, and it gives you permission to lay it aside for 24 hours and just to trust God with it. Now, more than ever, it is easy to be consumed with work because we tend to carry our work home with us. Many of us, we're just a phone call away from the office. If they need us, they call. I know, I have that kind of job too. If there's an emergency, I'm gonna get the call and I'm gonna be on call and I'm gonna have to go. And so many of us tend to carry it home with us, but we're not just a phone call away. Many of us can actually work at home from our computers, from our iPads, from our phones, and even now on our watches. We can work from right here. Is this not scary? I mean, it almost sounds like the mark of the beast to me. Etched in their hands and on their foreheads. Okay, just me. Okay, let's keep moving. Man, it got deep quick, didn't it? I'm sorry. Listen, with the ability to work at our fingertips, we seldom take a true sabbatical. This easy access makes it hard to stay away from work. So I get it. I understand. Society has programmed us this way to where work is always at our fingertips. I want us to go back to the beginning of humanity to fully appreciate the gift of Sabbath, though. So I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read some from Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to flow right into Genesis chapter 2. But I want you to see this for yourself because this is so important. In Genesis chapter 1, there is a creation order. Hear me close, because this is really what I want to talk to you about today. There is a creation order that is often overlooked that I believe helps us to understand this drive to work in our lives. And listen, if you don't have the drive to work in your life, you're just lazy, and that's a whole different sermon. But you need to pray about that. Okay. But I think this creation order, that we learn something from this and we understand our drive to work, our drive to accomplish. So let's read the sixth day of creation, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, day 6. We are going to read day 6 of creation, Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Not preaching about that today, but it's important for us to see that there were only two genders there. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion." Someone say dominion. "And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. So that's the sixth day of creation. But this sounds so good. Let's keep going into chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Before humanity had lived even one full day, God invited humanity into rest. Do you see that? Before Adam had a chance to work, before he had an opportunity to even shed one drop of sweat, he rested. God prioritized rest on Adam's first full day alive. You're going to rest first, and then we'll get to the work. And it's not that God is against work. On the contrary, church, God created us to work. That's why I was saying earlier, for those of you that don't appreciate work, that don't enjoy work, you have to understand that God mandated work for us. Genesis 2 and 15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So he put Adam, he created Adam, he rested Adam, then he put him in the garden to work it and keep it. Psalm 90 and 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Proverbs 14 and 23, work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Can I get an amen for that? If 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, for all of you that say, well, that's Old Testament, we need New Testament. Here's your New Testament. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. So you got to work. It's a biblical priority. It is scriptural. We need to work. It is safe to say that God honors a good work ethic. I believe he does. And I don't want us walking away with an excuse not to work. This is not meant to empower the lazy. The purpose is not to dethrone the driven. It is simply to help us recognize a special God-given gift that he has given us. And it is called Shabbat, Sabbath. It is a gift from God to humanity, and he designed us. Our innermost being is designed to work for 6 days and to rest on the seventh day. But don't miss the creation order. Our text tells us that God created livestock before he created humanity. This is important. God created livestock before he created humanity. So he created the cow before he created the man. He created the donkey before he created humanity. And I know what some of you are thinking. He created the mule when he created my husband. I get it. He created the ox. This is really what I want you to get right now. He created the ox before he created man. The order of creation here is so important. And then he grants humanity dominion over the animals, dominion over livestock, dominion over the ox. In other words, from the moment man was made, he had everything he needed to be successful at work. God set him up for occupational success. When Adam plowed the fields, he had dominion over the oxen to pull his plow. When Elijah found young Elisha, the Bible says, was plowing with 12 teams of oxen yoked together. The yoke is the wooden piece that puts them together, pairs them up, and attaches them to the plow. And Elisha was plowing with 12 teams of oxen yoked together. He had the tools that he needed to plow the fields. Job was a rich man. The Bible says he had 500 teams of oxen that plowed his fields. He had the tools he needed to get the work done. God made sure that humanity had the tools from the very beginning. We had the motor we needed to plow the field, to get the work work done. God gave us the ability and the drive to work and the tools to get it done. But when it comes to Sabbath, God passes out an abundance of rest. When it comes to Sabbath, he makes sure that we understand everything that needs to get a rest. Exodus 20 and verse 10 again. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, don't miss it, or your livestock, or the sojourner within your gates, or any guest that may be at your house. He said, I want everyone to get a break, including the tools that I gave you to be successful. You get a Sabbath, and you get a Sabbath, and you get a Sabbath, and you get, I mean, God just, you know, it's that Oprah format, you know, everybody gets a Sabbath. He passed it out to everyone gets a rest. And he made sure to tell us, your cell phone, your watch, your computer, all the tools that I've blessed you with, everything gets a rest on the day of Sabbath, including the oxen. Just to make sure that you don't forget Shabbat, put your power tool on a charger for a full day and let it recover. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, and your visitor, nobody should work on the Sabbath. And then Exodus 34 and 21 says, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. And here it is, in plowing time and harvest, you shall rest. Don't miss it. In plowing time and harvest, you shall rest. So what this tells me is, it doesn't matter if you are hustling and building the business, or if you're sitting at the top reaping the benefits of all those years of hard work, God still commands you to rest. Let me make it a little bit more personal. It doesn't matter if you are the planning pastor of a church, that you know it's do or die, and if you don't build this church and with the help of God, but if you don't put your hand to the plow and get something done, then you're not gonna eat. I mean, let's just be honest. I believe that God sent us here. I believe with my whole heart God ordained for us to plant this church. But if I'm really honest with you, and I teach this to church planters, if I'm real honest with you, there's a certain drive I had in me because I knew I had to put food on the table for my family. I mean, it was either I was going to have to succeed at this or I was going to have to go find a different occupation. Yeah. And so there was this drive, and it doesn't matter if it's plowing season or when God blesses and you find yourself at the top of the food chain, he says everybody still has to observe Sabbath. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's the reason why. Yes, I have a wonderful staff, and I'll be the first to tell you, they are hardworking and they make my life so much easier. There are things that I used to do in the early days of DCC that I don't have to do anymore because I have a wonderful staff that makes sure all that stuff gets done. But it doesn't matter where you're at, how important you think you are. The Sabbath commandment still applies to everyone. In plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest. God's command is for us to rest. Your life is not stressed because you have nothing to do. Your life is stressed because you have too much to do. And God knows that. He knew that from the beginning. And God gifts us with this 24-hour period each week to rest from the work. Now watch this. New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and through 30. Jesus said this. These are the words in red. Listen to what Jesus said. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not only does he command us to observe Sabbath, but in the age and the dispensation of grace, the Son of God, he likens it to connecting these two oxen together with a wooden yoke. And Jesus invites us to be connected to his yoke because he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. In other words, I'm going to pull this load for you. Amen. All you've got to do is trust me. Now think about this. If you have committed your life to Jesus Christ and you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then you have trusted him with your eternal life. You've trusted him with your soul. If you are a consistent giver or tither according to God's word, then you trust God with your finances. But how many people actually trust God consistently, religiously, with their time? Because it feels like if we take a day off, we're going to get behind. It feels like if we don't keep our hand to the plow, that we're going to lose a little bit of profit. And God says, no. You're not understanding this. You're trying to figure all this out in the natural, and I'm supernatural. I'm beyond natural. And if you'll just trust me with it, watch what I do with your time when you commit to honor me with your Sabbath, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, set aside, sanctified, unlike any other day. So you need to create a Sabbath to don't list. And at the top of this list, you need to write, don't work. On that day, you don't work. And it's so easy to reach back and put our hand to the plow because the plow is easily accessible. It is. It's right there at our fingertips. But we need to give the tools a break too. So put the phone down. Don't check the emails. Don't return the call until the next day. I promise you, they'll still be there waiting for you to call. Just give it a rest and let God be the Lord of the Sabbath. I read recently of a Jewish rabbi that described the Sabbath like this. He said that participating in Sabbath is like placing the mess of all of your cares and all of your concerns on a raft and then just pushing that raft right out into the middle of the lake. Like you're just, I'm putting everything. I'm gonna push it right out to the middle of the lake. And when the Sabbath is over, it's like getting that raft back, but when you get it back, everything is neat and in order. And now it's doable. Now it's manageable. Now I know how to conquer the task. That's what Shabbat is for us. It's that moment when we pile all of life's cares, concerns, worries, finances, all the bills, everything. We put everything on a raft. And on one day, just one 24-hour period, we say, it's yours, God. I'm giving it to you. And I'm just going to worship and rest. That's all I'm going to do. And when you get it back, God says, okay, now I've put it in order. Now here's how you're going to accomplish this. You don't think that resting on the Sabbath is productive. You don't think it's profitable for your life. Ask Chick-fil-A.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.